friends, and thank you so much for listening to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look to one of the upcoming Sunday readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 38th episode. My name is Stephen London, joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe, all of us clergy in the Diocese of Edmonton. Again, I know we've done this quite a few times now, but I always appreciate you joining me to do these podcasts. Just wondering how you're doing today.
I'm hibernating today. It's really cold outside.
I actually had a funny experience yesterday, a bit of a realization. The past 3 days when I've gone outside, it just hit me so hard. It's been so cold. And then yesterday I went out and it was even colder, but it seemed normal. And so I guess my lesson from that is I can acclimate even to minus 30. And that was a bit of an insight for me. So I was glad for that.
I hope we don't all have to get used to that. I'm living in hope. I keep reading the weather forecast, and it looks like we might have, I hate to use the word warmer, but less cold days coming up in 2 or 3 days from now, and that will be good. And I must admit, I looked out this morning and thought, oh, gee, the snow, we've got to go and shovel the driveway again. Oh, well, we will. And I was made to feel better when I looked at the chart that shows the number of daylight hours we have. And we have significantly more daylight hours right now than we did on December the 21st. So this is good news. It's spring will come.
And we definitely live in that hope.
Yeah.
Today, in today's podcast, we are now looking at the end of the season of Epiphany. We are on the brink of Lent. In the lectionary readings, the season ends with one of the most important readings for insight into who Jesus is, the Transfiguration. And it is worth noting, if you've heard this all before, this is our second podcast on this story. We did one back in August. This is a different gospel, though, so if you wish to read the story ahead of time, pause the podcast here and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. The word transfiguration, of course, is a funny word. It's not a word that we use every day. The Greek word behind it is the word that has come down to us now as metamorphosis. So maybe a better English translation would be the transformation, because that is what we see in this story. Jesus goes up on a high mountain with a select group of disciples, and he transfigures before them. The text tells us that his clothes become dazzling white. If we put the other gospels together, it's as if a light pours out of Jesus, and they see two others, pillars of Old Testament history, Moses and Elijah. The disciples are terrified and hear a voice from heaven. "This is my son, the beloved," it says. "Listen to him." And then suddenly it all disappears. They're alone with Jesus. Now, there is a lot to talk about in this story, so thank you, Michael and Stephanie, for being willing to talk about it. Just curious what stands out to you in this reading this morning.
I notice right away that there are two kinds of thinking here. There's Peter can't get his head around the fact that Jesus is going to die and will rise again and all of that, and he can't figure out what's going on here. He thinks very much in the present, and so he talks about making space for Moses and Elijah along with Jesus so that they can just stay up there on the top of the mountain and I guess, forever have a good time together. But God steps in, and God says, "Hey, wait a minute, listen to this guy. He's important. He's my son, and he's got an important message for you today."
I appreciate you saying that, Michael. It always strikes me that the Christian tradition actually always downplays powerful spiritual experiences. They say, nice to have, but don't lean on them. The point is not to have cool spiritual experiences. The point is to have a heart of love. You may have good experiences, you may have bad experiences, but focus on the heart of love. So I think they do have a powerful experience here, and I'm glad they recorded it. It teaches us a lot. But I do appreciate what you're saying. It's not about staying up there with Jesus in the transfigured realm, but come back down and serve the world.
Yeah, I wonder if that thing that Peter says as he's flustered and not sure what to do and not sure what to say, as it tells us in verse 6, is actually tells us something about God. I'm thinking of, we know that Peter's coming out of a culture with a really strong understanding of hospitality. And I love that that's the first place that his mind goes. It's like, here's Moses and Elijah. I have to be hospitable. I have to make a place for them to stay. But then it turns and it's almost as though God is saying, I'm the host here. I'm inviting you in to this life, the life of the glory of God that you see in this person of Jesus.
Peter doesn't seem able to see God in this. In the previous chapter, like not long before this passage, we've had that bit where Jesus talks about the fact that he's going to die and rise again. And Peter says, wait a minute, you know, takes him aside and says, yeah, let's not go this direction. You know, that's not right. That can't be right. And Jesus makes that off that one thing that, I mean, it must have really hurt Peter to hear Jesus say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Jesus wants us, wants Peter, and he wants us as well to pay attention to the divine.
One of my favorite images in scripture that speaks to me the most is when Paul, after he encounters Jesus on the way to Damascus, is blinded and he sits in that state for 3 days. And then when Ananias prays for him, the phrase is something like scales falls from his eyes and he's able to see again. And I often take that as an image that all of us can't see what's really there, that our vision as human beings is very limited. And that's always how I interact with the transfiguration and appreciate. I have this feeling that James and Peter and John have scales taken off their eyes, that there's actually something about Jesus, this transfigured moment, that's always true. This is who Jesus really is, but they just can't see it. And that God gives them this glimpse of into this deeper reality of God coming to us through Jesus. I just think there's something profound. And so I always see it as a glimpse. They get a vision of something that's in fact always there, but we just can't see it.
And I think that's a really important point to note, because it's a hallmark of Christian spirituality, understanding that. And I'm thinking of people like C.S. Lewis and Agnes Sanford and Thomas Merton and all these people who had experiences of seeing or understanding or describing that bigger reality, that there's always something going on that most of the time we're unaware of and most of the time we're blind to. But there's something that things that God is doing that are bigger than what we can understand.
I really appreciate that, Stephanie. My favorite story from Thomas Merton, and you saying that just twigged it for me. It's the story where he is in Louisville. I think he's actually having to go to the dentist because he has a toothache. And of course, Thomas Merton is this contemplative monk who prays quite a bit. And he ran away to the monastery because he was trying to get away from the, in a sense, bad, evil world that was corrupting him. And so he's walking around in Louisville and everything is normal. People walking in the streets, doing their normal business, but suddenly he sees it differently. And he writes, it was like everyone was shining with the sun. And he just saw how beautiful and wonderful humanity and creation was. And it didn't last, but he had this transformative moment. It gave him peace with the world, where he kind of felt suspicious of it. People weren't spiritual enough, so to speak. They didn't run away. And in their own selves, there's something beautiful and beloved by God. So I think he had something like this, a brief image into what's always there.
That's a connection too, I think, between the life of God and how we understand the people around us.
Peter, I'm thinking maybe this was, even though we criticize him for wanting to build these accommodations for the three, perhaps it was an aha moment, like it was for Merton. Oh, there's something different here. Maybe it was the beginning of Peter's discovery of what was going to happen.
And as we know, Peter seems to need quite a few of those aha moments to get him where he goes.
Yeah.
I think I need a lot of those aha moments to get where I go. And in fact, I think that's the meaning, what we mean when we use the word insight. I think it's when we have an aha moment that God grants us something we've always known, but suddenly it just takes on a bigger significance, or things come together that hadn't come together before. I actually love those insight moments.
And notice also this connection with the resurrection in verse 9. He ordered them to tell no one about what they'd seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts or insight about how the transfiguration connects with the resurrection of Jesus.
I wonder if somehow or other his ministry on earth, his mission would have been in some way minimized because of this. If this story came out, then people that weren't there would become so skeptical that perhaps there's a danger that they would discount anything that Jesus was saying from that point on.
It would be pretty unbelievable, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, people still struggle with it today. That's
that's why we're here.
Yes. I think for me, part of it is, it's a great question, Stephanie, because I think they're meant to be connected. Like I often go back to this insight that is not original to me. Of course, nothing I say is original to me. I read and take from other people everything I have. But this idea of what is being revealed here? Why does Mark, Matthew, and Luke put this story in? What is the significance of it? And I think part of it is they are telling us something significant about Jesus that won't be fully revealed until the resurrection, but is partially revealed here. One of the questions that people often ask about the scriptures as the Christian church confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they say, well, where does Jesus ever say something like, I'm God or I'm divine? And of course, it's not there, not in the way that we look for it. But those gospels were written by Jewish people, and they put things in a very Jewish way. And the first reading that comes out in the lectionary is, of course, the story of Elijah and Elisha. And it's the story when Elijah, the prophet, leaves, his mantle of authority and prophecy is taken on by Elisha. And so what we see here in the gospel is that Jesus is actually taking on the mantle of God. In Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, we see the mountain transfigured with God. It's a similar story, like with the stilling of the storm. Jesus does something that only God does in the Old Testament. It's like when Jesus walks by them on the water. Jesus does something that only God does in the Old Testament. And here again, we see something of that. So I think they're telling us something very profound about Jesus, but it will only be understood after the resurrection. And to be honest, not even fully then. So we have come to our time. I think we could talk about this for quite a long time. That's one of the great gifts of Scripture. We can just go deeper and deeper and find more and more insights. But as we do in this podcast, I'm just curious, the two of you, is there anything in this time of COVID when, yes, the days are cold and still short, getting longer, but getting short, still short. Is there anything in this that you find speaks to you about how you might live this week?
I think I will take that end of verse 7 with me this week, when the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." And what does it mean to listen to Jesus now? Because that's not just for these three disciples. That's for us as well. What does it mean to listen to the Son of God, to listen to someone who is beloved by God? And how does that express itself in our lives now?
For me, it's again a reminder of God's presence. It's God needs to step in at that particular moment and does so, and God will continue to do that whenever necessary in the days that are to come. And God is present now, maybe not quite so vocal at the moment, but certainly with us as we steer our way through the kind of rough seas of the moment.
I think for me, it's a Benedictine insight. In his role, Benedict tells us that we take by faith that God is absolutely everywhere, on the mountaintop, as well as when doing the dishes. And I talk about that a lot, but part of it is trying to see with eyes marked by the gospel. And I don't always see the world through those eyes, but I do pray for that. And I do try to practice that on a regular basis. So I think for me, it's this transfiguration is an invitation to continue to do that in an intentional way, to see God's love literally everywhere and in every person. Anyway, that's it for our podcast today. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. We enjoy having conversations around scriptures, and we would love to have any insights that you have had about this reading. If you do have any, please just leave them in the comments on the hopecanteen.org website. Until then, we will see you next week as we start with Lent. Bye.
Have a good weekend.
God bless.